And he stayed off. You know, off the wagon, so to speak. I mean, you know, he's betrayed Christ. And when they wouldn't take the money back, he despaired and he killed himself. And then now his judgment lies with God. I don't concern myself really with that. You know, what the apostles are going to be doing. I want to be there to see what happened. You know, people get into prophecy and so on and so forth. Any prophecy after the resurrection is really meaningless. It is nothing to me. Nothing. I need to get to the resurrection. Everything up to that point is important. And I must be prepared. So end time prophecy has a place. We got to definitely know what the prophecy is, even if we don't understand it. Or completely. Or have some ideas of what could be. We've got to understand. We're going to do Revelation. We're going to enjoy that. I certainly will. I've got to obtain the resurrection. Everlasting life is the subject of this section, and it is so important. That is what we want. Everlasting life. Because not God only has immortality. We do not have immortal souls. That is the work of men of corrupt minds who have corrupted the doctrine of Christ. Augustine and such. Those men will answer for their crimes. Oh, how dare you say... Go away. Go away. You don't savor the things which be of God, but the things which be of men. Savor rather the truth of the apostles. I don't need to go back to the guys afterwards. The only way I can judge those men is by them agreeing with what the apostles wrote. If they bring in some extra thought, how will I judge it? Since the apostles did not write on that subject. Well, the oral, I don't go with the oral. I don't trust those people because the apostles left me word in their writings that I should not trust them. People forsake homes, brethren, sisters. This is in the ministry of Christ when he was there and the time had come to first, remember, Peter didn't like live in a hole from his birth. He had a business. Christ came to him and called him. He called him away from his nets, called him away from what he was doing. You know, and he can do the same to us. I tell you what, times can come, times can change. When all of a sudden the call of God draws you out, and you've got to forsake children. For me, that's big right there. Wives, children, houses, lands. I just got a little spit of land here. You know, people look at my nice situation. I've got almost 3 acres. You know, I always thought, wow, I feel like a wealthy man. I've got these buildings, but it cost very little. Very inexpensive. And I've made improvements by my own sweat. But look at, that's still my work, my possession. I worked for it. You know? And it has been enriched. And it would be difficult to leave. But in my heart, I prepare my heart to accept that. And I will accept it. Not without some pain. I'll tell you what, it would not be easy. To give up even what I have. And everyone in America is kind of in a position of wealth. I'm only in poverty in America. Because here I am sitting in front of a very nice PC with a very nice microphone and a very nice sound system. This little corner of my house has some of my most wealthiest possessions. A very nice guitar, very nice microphone. Yeah, that's for the ministry, right? But still. And those are the things I look most fondly at as far as earthly possessions. I look at my guitar. I look at my microphone. I look at my sound system and my computer. I look at my family pictures and my family itself and the home I built out of this house. And it would be difficult to leave it, but I settle it in my heart. If it comes to that, then I will accept it. I will not turn my back on the Lord for the sake of possessions or family. Many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. This is one of Jesus' most favorite riddles. And it means a reversal of some of the orders of the way people think things ought to be. Jesus, who was first of all, became servant of all. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the greatest and the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's why I always say that he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He is the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's why he is greater than John the Baptist. Because Jesus Christ is the least in the kingdom of heaven. What? Yeah. He is Alpha and Omega. You ever heard when they talk about wolves, how there's the Alpha female and the Alpha male and the Omega? The Omega is the lowest one on the totem pole. And it has its own special role. And Christ is also the lowest. He is the most humble. The most lowly. You know, no one gave up more than him. No one. To gain more. Or become. No one gave up more, and no one shall be greater. That's why when they ask, who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He couldn't say, well, me. Because that's the truth. But he says, whoever will be greatest must become least. Must become as this child. He became as a child. He was a child. People love baby Jesus. Baby Jesus. Became as a child to enter into the kingdom. That which seems to be first is last. And that which is last seems to be last. It is first. And that can also go with, you know, many that are first into the kingdom. Well, we were here first. Huh? You're going to wind up last. Many that were last shall be first. Those that were last, oh, you move up to the front of the line. And a lot of reversals. You know, every mountain shall be made low and every valley shall be made high. God overturns a lot of human expectations. Things are changed. Things are, you know, it's a bit of a riddle to man. You know, I don't know precisely what shall be, but I know that we will be like him. And the reward of that, you know, thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. You've given up houses and children and family, I will give you more. You have given up your life. I will give you everlasting life. And that is, that's what I care about. Because if there is no everlasting life, our own life is vain. Because I'm going to live, I'm going to die, I'm going to live, enjoy, love, cry, happy, sad, and, you know, life is life. You're going to have all kinds, right? And it's good to be alive. Because we could maybe not be alive. What if instead of me being born, it was my twin? Right? But not my twin. Just if a different consciousness had arisen in the same body. Because that could be. Paul, now you're talking. I don't get it. It's okay. I'm just saying. We don't have to. Our existence is not necessary. Our existence is not required. It is completely contingent on what has been. You know, if it wasn't for the Holocaust, I wouldn't be alive. I'm alive thanks to the slaughter of 6 million Jews.